Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Shay Norling in the building after a devastating, heart-wrenching, what label do we want to throw on this one?
Expected,
not a bad word. Expected, disappointed, but expected loss to the Green Bay Packers, 20-19. There's a lot of takeaways from this game. It depends on which way you want to go. You can go negative, you can go positive. And I think the fact that you can go positive, talking about an offense after you fired your offensive coordinator, is a surprising place to be here this Monday, Shay.
Is it? It's what I expected. I talked all last week to anybody who'd listen about a dead cat bounce out of this team. The offense is going to look better because, surprise, they're all going to be happy to be at work. If there's one thing that I saw yesterday that I expected, it was an offensive line that was engaged. It was blockers in wide receiving fashion that were engaged. It was a quarterback who looked more comfortable, who was running a simpler offense. I think a lot of that made sense. And that's because you fired a coach that they made it publicly known nobody liked or respected. If I hated my boss, I wouldn't like coming to work either.
Yeah,
I'm fortunate. I don't hate my boss. I enjoy coming to work. Yeah. So
nice
for the Bears,
after the 12Q. I like that.
Well, no, I'm just off a guy who everybody clearly did not respect.
Yeah.
And I use that word in particular because Keenan Allen basically said he's too nice.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like anybody respected Waldron. You go to Thomas Brown and everybody was happy to be at work. I'm less enthusiastic about the offense going forward than I was for one day on Sunday. I think you blew a shot to get a win that would have been a little bit of a program win. I also think if you want to spin the whole thing positive, Caleb Williams is a quarterback. He is your quarterback.
Yes.
He is a good player.
Yes.
He's always been a good player. There were massive concerns with the way that he was playing, but he showed up on Sunday and he did it in the fourth quarter in a 2-minute fashion and a drive that he needed. Just didn't go his way. That's probably the nail in the coffin in the head coach. So I say all of this to say kind of the best result you could have hoped for. You don't win a game that's going to be a resume builder for the coaching staff, and you see development positively out of your quarterback.
Yeah.
That's basically the rest of this season. I have a hard time sitting down and being, and again, like, I didn't grow up with the Bears in my life, so I have an ability
you
to
don't
just
have to win or lose
be
everything.
Unemotional and objective about it. And just like, I get Bears fans want to beat the Packers, and Bears fans, you guys do deserve more. Jaquan Brisker's right. You deserve way more than you're given, especially in this rivalry. But big picture, that went about as well as it could have.
Legitimately, I looked this up. Now, this is where the rivalry gets tough, right? I tried to look up the last 10 games of Bears-Packers because I was like, okay, let's see what's the worst. It accidentally looked up the last 10 years. So in the last 10 years of Bears-Packers, the Bears are 2-17. Literally, this is the best loss that they have had out of the bunch. This is the most competitive loss that they have had outside of maybe the Mitch game when Khalil Mack comes in, but Aaron Rodgers fights back. Like, you kind of had a lead in that. You didn't really compete in the second half. This was the best that it's been. So I'm with you when you say, you know, that you deserve better, because talking of when you got to rank the best losses that you've had in Bears-Packers history over the last 10 years, it sucks. The one thing that I will say, though, and maybe push back a little bit, is I do wonder if this is just a coordinator change pop. I left this game feeling better about the offense and better about the future of the offense because, yes, everybody I do think was more happy to come to work. But I thought that the offense that you ran was not one that you can't keep running. A lot of times when we see these pops, when you see the coaches come in and the coach gets the big, oh, we got a big win, we're ready to fight back, and then they lose the next 7 games in a row, it's because your players played at a level that they don't have the talent or capability to play with, and they literally just came in and were excited to come to work for a week, and then you lose the game, and you lose that pop. I don't think that that's the case here with Thomas Brown, just because I think the offense that you were calling was one that's simple, that clearly Caleb Williams can handle, that clearly – Caleb Williams can operate in, that your playmakers can make big plays in, short passes to DJ Moore, short passes to Keenan Allen. It's not until you get to the end of the game where you need him to go out there and be Superman, where all of a sudden, you know, you kind of see some of those skill sets start to be on display with the deeper passes down the field. But the intermediate to short game being on display, I think that's something that you can go out there. I would hope it's something you go out there versus the Minnesota Vikings, who basically Brian Flores is going to be running engage eight all day.
Yeah.
I would hope that that's a system that you're planning on running that day. I would hope you're trying to get those short yardage plays to DeAndre Swift. Those are the things that I think are sustainable. And it's why I actually do feel like, not to say Thomas Brown is going to be the superstar. I think a lot of Bears fans have taken it too far. I saw Thomas Brown for head coach yesterday.
Yeah,
I
was we like, got a phone
like,
call.
I was like, let's roll it back show. A little bit, guys. Let's see him call a good game, two games in a row. But I think that this is actually sustainable because there's talent on this team, Shay.
Yeah,
you just weren't using it right.
I think that's true. And I think Eberflus said as much in his availability with Cap and Hood. You know, he talked about a need to get the skill players in space and utilize what they do best. They did a good job of that. As far as going forward, I'm going to believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you,
I get that.
I think philosophically, nothing's changed. Maybe like the plays you call down to down and how you try to use your players, that might get a little better. It might be a little more aesthetically pleasing, and it probably won't ever be as bad as it was against Arizona and New England.
Yeah.
I gotta hope it's not anyway. You're not going to turn into some high powered offense suddenly and start winning a bunch of games. I mean, I would look, I'm the guy that I told you ahead of the Arizona game, bet Arizona. I told you ahead of the New England game, bet the Patriots.
Yeah.
Went into this game, I bet the Bears. And now you're 3.5-point dogs against Minnesota. I got to tell you, the way that number looks, probably going to be on the Vikings. Because I don't really buy that this is long-term sustainable or that they're just going to fix it and the offense is going to be great. Your offensive line stinks. And I think this coaching staff philosophically is scared.
I agree with that.
The quick throws are awesome, and it makes life a little bit easier for Caleb, and it'll make him more efficient. It'll make him more effective. But they're not going to do anything that puts the ball in danger. They're not going to do anything that creates risk. You know that because Eberflus told you we can't run another play from the 29-yard line. If we do, there's a chance we'll fumble the ball.
Yeah.
Well, that mentality, it just doesn't work for me in the NFL. And I don't believe that as a coach in this league, you can assume failure when you enter a snap or you enter a play call or at any moment. You have to assume success.
Yeah.
That's how you win. I think they coach to not lose, and that's why they lose. It's a philosophical issue for me.
Yeah.
And that look, I always thought it was a bump spot, and I don't know how it looks going forward. I'm not telling you I'm right 100% of the time, and the Bears are just going to fold back to what they were. I think it will be better, and I liked what I saw from Caleb. I don't have some big sweeping thing to say, this offense is right now. I don't buy it.
I think that
– maybe I'm a bad guy. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm just an asshole.
No, well, that's a different conversation. But I think the conversation to be had – about this is, was the offense being utilized so poorly that now just seeing it run in a basic fashion, I'm not sitting here telling you Caleb was out there running Pat Mahomes style plays, but I do think that basically you just said, hey, we've got these talented players. How about we have this novel idea of put the ball in their hands?
Yeah.
How about we have this novel idea of if you run a screenplay, you got a block. Now, I will say, the one thing that I don't think is sustainable, and maybe you probably shouldn't run it next week, I don't think Keenan Allen's blocking the rest of the season. I think that was the bump that you got was Keenan Allen blocking this week. I think that's where, I'm happy. I'm glad to do my job. Because you don't know why, though? Keenan Allen don't block. Keenan Allen didn't block in San Diego. He didn't block in L.A. He's not going to block here. It's not going to be something that is his go-to thing to do. That, I think, is what you got maybe a little bit of a bump in. Maybe adjust your play calling for that. But I think even the simplicity of, Shay, calling a screen with big guys in front, Those are things that I see work in this NFL every single week.
Yeah,
I
think screens made more sense.
Yeah, when you mean not having just wide receivers block tight ends?
And not asking guys to move with like a you'd put DJ Moore out, and it's like a one-on-one situation where he's got to win a move and then win with speed.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was like, we're going to get DJ Moore outside behind offensive linemen, and he can work his way through. Like the speed he moved on that screen, I think it was the third quarter maybe. Second or third quarter.
Which one? To the one that Braxton Jones had?
Yeah.
He kills the guy?
Well, no, that was the swift run, but that was swift incredible.
Run. That was the best Braxton Jones play.
There was a screen DJ right in the red zone, and he just kind of slowly weaved through traffic. That looked so much better than when you're putting him in situations where he's got to win on a move against someone rather than negotiate the people in front of him.
Yeah.
I just thought everything aesthetically looked better, and as far as going forward, I'll believe it when I see it.
And listen, I agree with that because of how the outcome of this game goes. And by the way, hit the like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. I agree with that because of how the outcome of this game was, because I think the Bears have caught the flus. Like, for lack of a better word, like, this is systemic at this point, Shay.
Yeah, it's philosophical. I'm telling you.
It's uncanny.
They're okay with it.
And that's the problem, because you think about the losses. We always go back to Flus is now up to 6 games, I think, in his career, where he had a 90% plus chance to win a game. Denver game, takes his foot off the gas second quarter. Let's not blow it, boys. They blow it. Detroit game, one pass in the second half last year. The one pass is the Tyler Scott to try and win the game. So even when they're coming back, we're still not throwing the football. You look at this season, playing scared on the goal line, trying to do cute things on the goal line. Like, all of these things to me, like, it comes down to, and this is why yesterday, when everybody's sitting there going, you have to run another play, you can't play scared, you have to run another play, I think this goes deeper. I think you run another play, it probably is a fumble. I don't care what the percentages are. You want to know why? Because Matt Eberflus is the head coach of this team, and that is what this team is exuding. This team is exuding, when the pressure gets tough, we're going to fail.
I think
when the pressure is worst, we're going to fail.
It's what you've said a lot, too. He's happy being good enough. It just feels like a guy who is comfortable controlling as much as he feels like he can control. And I'm genuinely just talking about ball security.
Yeah.
Do as little to put the football in danger as possible. And we are happy with living on the blood of our defense, staying close, and having a chance at the end that's effectively a coin flip. Problem is, you can't win coin flips.
Yeah.
Like, you are on the wrong side of the odds.
Of every coin.
And it's not
like one coin, Shay. Every coin. He is the worst coach, I believe, right now in the NFL in one score game.
It's also not, yeah, and that's fluky. Like, it is. It just is. There are certain things that if they go just a little bit different, you win more than you lose in those spots.
Yeah.
I just feel like because he has this philosophy of let's play it safe and not lose, it's why you lose those coin flips. It's why you have a team that I think believes they don't deserve to win. It almost feels right. Like it feels like they get into these spots and then there's a feeling of, somehow we're going to fuck this up. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that every time happens.
And I think everyone feels it. I think, listen, yesterday, 100%, all the people that are upset, there should have been a penalty called on that. Yes, there should have. You know why there wasn't a penalty called on that? Refs probably are like, well, it's the Bears. They know. It does go to,
but also,
you're
going
to do something to mess this play up.
Officials are going to screw things up. Officials didn't review a ball that hit the ground, and they just decided to play on in Bills Chiefs.
Yeah.
They screwed that up.
Yeah.
They also didn't throw a pass interference flag against the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, both fan bases can come out of that and go, well, Buffalo should have had a touchdown stripped off the board. And Buffalo can go, well, you shouldn't have ever even been in a 4th-and-3 to get a holding. It should have been 4th-and-13 the whole time.
That's how I felt the Bears-Packers were yesterday. LaFleur's on the sideline losing his mind all day because the Bears were getting the benefit of calls. I think the Packers got the benefit of the last call.
My point is, if you're one of these fans out there going, oh, they didn't call the leverage penalty, we got hosed. Stop.
Yeah.
Win the game yourself. You can't control what officials do. If you leave it up to the official, you didn't play well enough. period.
And I think that's here's what I think the difference is.
That's what I'm talking about with the coin flip too.
Yeah.
Eberflus, you can control only what you can control. And in his mind, it's ball security. You can't control what the officials do. You're right. But if you just play better and coach better, yes, it won't come down to the official every time.
I guarantee
that's
you.
That's the part that bothers me.
I haven't even watched yet. I guarantee you Pat McAfee is ripping our blocking on that final play. I already saw Patrick Manley doing it, right? The blocking up front. It's the details that come down to it, and that's where I feel the Bears fail the most. And my thing is, right, maybe you do run another play. Maybe you get 5 yards shorter, and everybody's like, oh, well, it's an easier kick for Cairo. Cairo already said, At 42, I kick it the same way. At 42, 43, I kick it the same way. He doesn't have the leg. He's going to kick it lower no matter what, unless you get it to a 20, unless you get it to the 20. Oh, well, what if you run in a touchdown? Like, I get all of the what-if scenarios. I love the fact that Harbaugh was more aggressive, but I think the difference is the reason the Bears lose these coin flip situations so often is because they're never the aggressor. Matt LaFleur calls plays just like that. I've seen him go, hey, we'll take the points here. We're going to come out of this with a win. Don't worry about it. Not on second down as much. That's kind of crazy. But I've seen him go long kick. Don't worry about it. We're going to rely on the kicker. We got a kicker. We know our scheme is good. We're going to be good. But he doesn't do that every time. Matt Eberflus's default is, I'm going to hide in the basement and see if the bomb went off when I get out.
I also think it's, like you say, they don't do it every time. I've watched a lot of football in my life, and I don't really remember a time where you got to a 46-yard attempt and decided, let's run the clock out.
I do, twice. Matt Nagy did it, and Mark Trestman did it.
It's like,
on second down, can we please stop the cycle?
It's only this team.
Yeah.
And you bring up LaFleur. How many times have I watched Aaron Rodgers throw quick outs just to get 4 or 5 extra yards, yeah, get a little bit closer? I know I've seen Tom Brady do it. I know I've seen Tom Brady without timeouts. Good quarterback without timeouts. Drop back and just throw the ball away if the read that they're looking for is not there.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that?
I think it's still a fear of the quarterback. I do. I think that.
But that's my point.
I think because that Flus thinks he still has Justin.
But if you, again, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you have this fear that the quarterback is going to do a bad thing. I would much prefer to be talking about Caleb leading a drive down the field and then drop back, got sacked, and it is what it is, than you settled for a 46-yard field goal with a guy who you know has a weaker leg, who you know kicks low trajectory. You ran the clock out on it and then made him kick a game winner against a team, hindsight or not, that after the game came out and told us, their special teams coordinator told them they better get a block, basically said, because Cairo Santos has a noodle leg and they don't protect well up front.
Yeah.
You settled for the thing they were dying you to do.
And I think you had him on the back foot. That's the worst part. Like, I will say this.
You did CPR. The one thing that they came out of the game and said, this is where we saw in film study we can win. It's the thing you put yourself into position for.
Just to play devil's advocate, and appreciate you guys tuning in, hit the like button, subscribe to the page. Just to play devil's advocate, you're moving the ball down the field well. I understand that. Caleb looks as locked in as he's been probably in 4 weeks. But you've watched him take sacks that take you out of field goal range. You've watched your offensive line not be able to stop. And everybody keeps going, oh, well, why don't you just run the football one more time, yeah, like Jim Harbaugh does? Because you don't have the offensive line that's going to sit there and beat the guys on the other side and just open up massive holes. That's how that turns into a J.K. Dobbins touchdown. It's not J.K. Dobbins punching people in the face on the way through, yeah, trying to figure it out. I can almost understand Flus going, we got to, like, not F this up. But I do understand that's not the mindset that wins you games.
It's also not the mindset you should have with the direction you are going organizationally. And it's, again, why I think it was a mistake to fire Waldron and not fire Eberflus.
100%.
I'll make a second point on that in a moment. I just want to make it clear. Like, Eberflus is coaching to save his job. Whether Caleb Williams works out or not long term is more or less irrelevant to Matt Eberflus. His context as a human being is, I need to keep my gig.
It's Nagy with Justin.
that creates a problem because you're talking about, well, if this quarterback's taken multiple sacks, whatever, he's taking you out of field goal range. He has a history of doing that. Get it, 100%, and it can't happen. He also has to improve on that, and the way to do it is to be in those situations.
Yeah.
He had just made three of the best throws a Bears quarterback has made in probably 5 years on that drive. Ripped the ball over the middle, 30-19 to Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
Dropped back and threw a perfect fade and then set up the field goal. And you take the ball out of his hands to run the clock out. I'm fine with running the ball if that's what you want to do. But your offense finally has rhythm on a drive. There's 30 seconds left, 35 seconds left. You're playing to win a football game. And it's with this quarterback. Give him the football.
Yeah.
Let him make plays offensively. Allow them to do it. I think Eberflus is coaching so safe and so scared out of fear he's going to lose his gig that
he's going to lose his gig.
Well, then he ends up losing the game.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, point two, I'm getting a little concerned that he's not going to lose his gig.
I'm with you.
He doesn't talk like a guy who believes he's unsafe.
I'm with you.
I don't think he coaches like a guy who believes he's unsafe. I'm getting a little concerned.
I think the article that we talked about last week when we were on at noon on The Athletic, where you hear that they want a strong executive front office. They want a front office that is kind of the leading force in not only just building the team, but in how the coaching staff is built out. That scares me, Shay, because there's not another coach here. And I keep bringing this point up. Nobody on Flus's staff, I've never seen this. Somebody show me another example. Nobody on Flus's staff has he coached with before. None of the important people on Flus's staff has he coached with before. You picked Shane. I can tell you after one game, definitively, Thomas Brown is a better offensive coordinator than Shane Waldron. You picked Shane Waldron after not ever coaching with him, after never seeing how he coached, after never seeing how he developed players, over Thomas Brown, and you're telling me that you understand that that's a Flus decision. You're telling me that Flus is the guy that was like, no, yeah, he's a great developer of players. We think he comes in. He's a great communicator. And then 10 weeks later, he's like, this guy can't talk. They hate him. None of the players are connecting with him. Yeah. We got to get him out of here. That I don't buy it. I look at the front office and I say, you hired Shane Waldron. You hired Thomas Brown. The only connection to Thomas Brown and Flus is Frank Wright. That's it. So you have no connections with anything on the offensive side, yet you don't have a connection with Eric Washington on the defensive side. It may work because you speak the same language, you run the same scheme, and I think that works with a better dynamic, but you have no connection with any of these guys. So you're telling me you're going to do that again with another coach. I don't buy that Flus hired this staff. Because if he hired this staff, we wouldn't be talking about Shane Waldron 10 weeks in going, I didn't know that he couldn't communicate with the players and that, because you would have seen it on the field.
Well,
you're not going to get a Ben Johnson. You're not going to get a Bobby Slowick. You're not going to get any of these names that you think you may get at head coach Cliff Kingsbury. They're not coming.
I'm making a ruling for myself. Because we keep talking about who the next head coach is going to be. I'm done doing it until this guy's actually fired. I'm genuine. Like, we've got the report out that there's a secret year at the end of his extension.
Yeah,
his deal is actually a five-year deal, not a four-year deal, based on what Brad Biggs has heard. That worries me. The way that he talks, the way that he coaches, it feels more like a guy who doesn't believe that there's a fire under his ass. I kind of think he's safe. And I kind of just wonder if it's Kevin Warren or rather Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus for 4 years. And if it doesn't work, they're both gone at the same time. Because I got to tell you, I know, like, Jonathan Hood, my friend, says he always believed Ryan Poles was getting two coaches. I don't know that that's necessarily true. You can't have a GM in his fourth season hire a coach because you're basically guaranteeing another three seasons to that general manager. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I actually think it's infinitely more likely Poles and Eberflus are both back for year four, and it's sink or swim for both of you.
Well,
now, would I rather, if you're going that route, would I rather you just cut him off now and rebuild it all next year, of course. But then you're screwing up everything for your year two quarterback.
I see that. That's why I don't know if that's the case.
But what is his mantra, Ben? Break the cycle.
Yes.
You can't break the cycle by feeding directly into it and firing the head coach after the first year with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
That is the cycle.
Well, I think that I more push back on that Ryan Poles would end up getting fired because of Matt Eberflus, because I can't sit here and tell you he didn't give Flus the tools. I think the cosign is damning in our minds. It doesn't mean it's damning in the minds of his bosses. To me, the cosign is the most damning. You had an opportunity, get the coach out of here, get him in with a new quarterback, new head coach, all of that, start fresh. I think that to us is damning, that he goes, this is the guy I found. This is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. This is the guy that's going to get us to Super Bowls. I don't think that's damning in the minds of his bosses.
No, but that's my point. And then you keep them both for a fourth year because you go, oh, we still think it can work. And you know Poles loves Flus.
Yeah.
We still think it can work. We'll give you both a fourth year. But this is it for both of you.
That this is what I think is not there.
So right? They're going to let give Flus a fourth year and Poles is on for the fourth year, they're going to let Poles still get another head coach.
Christ. And the reason I say that is Poles finding talent? Is Poles bringing pieces in that should work? I think yesterday told us, everybody was sitting here crying about 1-9. Why'd you take Roma Dunze at 9? I've told you, you still could have went and got offensive line, still getting Roma Dunze. I'm excited that we have Roma Dunze.
No, he's a great player.
I'm sitting here.
I've always liked him.
When I go rookie to rookie in the clutch, that means you're built for the moment. Those are two players I want on my team.
They always were. My issue was more Keenan Allen the whole time.
Sure, 100%. Which I'm fine with. And it looks more and more like you're going to be right as we keep going through the season. But I just think that if Ryan Poles is finding talent and he's giving it to a coach that isn't getting the most out of it, I don't think it's surprising to me that the McCaskies would go to him and go get another coach. Clearly, you're doing something right. He's doing something wrong. You need to find the right guy. Now, do I trust that he's going to go get the right guy? I don't, because I think his philosophy on building up the coaching staffs is wrong.
Are you not the guy who was hitting Poles with a hammer about this offensive line?
100%. But I would hope that this upcoming season, you're doing nothing but bringing in offensive linemen. Now, if we get through year four and you're still not building the trenches, like this whole, let's be real.
Well, I agree. I think that's what he's going to do. I'm also afraid that Eberflus will be by his side doing it.
That does concern me. I agree with that. I don't think that we're in disagreement on this. I think that it's just more.
No, we're getting caught up in the future look of it, which I don't really. If Poles goes beyond year four with a new coach, I don't care. Who knows what's going to happen with Flus? The point I'm primarily making is we can waste all the oxygen in the world talking about Cliff Kingsbury or Liam Cohen or Bobby Slowick or Ben Johnson.
And realistically,
or
we still
Clint
got
Kubiak or whatever. I'm done doing it until this guy is not the head coach anymore, because he still is right now. And I have a genuine fear mounting that he will be next season.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm not in disagreement with you. And I think here's the biggest concern that I have. Flus doesn't not fit what it seems like their philosophy is.
No, you think he fits it exactly.
Would you agree that even Ryan Poles is good enough is good enough? Even Kevin Warren. I mean, still waiting for the stadium with parking. Still waiting for shovels in the ground on a property we've owned for how long now? Oh, but we got the hospital site now. Here we go. And that's good enough. I think this is the philosophy of the franchise. Going up to the ownership. I think that's kind of where you're at. And so if you're sitting here telling me that they're going to go pick a coach that's going to make a difference, that's where I can sit here and go, it almost doesn't matter. Keep them. You're not, what are we going to do? We're going to try and build up another guy that's going to end up like him.
Yeah. It's if the Sando Athletic report is accurate, that they don't want a power established guy, that they don't want a big voice. They don't want a character. They don't want a guy everybody knows. They don't want somebody who will outshadow the brand.
They don't want Ditka.
Yeah, if that's,
that's really all it is.
If all that's accurate, well, then why am I going to bomb out Eberflus to hire like a Liam Cohen, who I don't even know if it's going to work? If I have to take a swing on a coordinator, I'm giving a blank check to Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
They don't have a willingness to do that.
Yeah.
So this is where the fear lies for me, because I don't think you're getting Mike Vrabel. I don't think you're getting Bill Belichick. I don't think you're getting a guy like Mike McCarthy or Brian Daboll or one of these failed quote unquote head coaches who are well known. No, I think
I would love Brian Daboll.
This is where I think there's a chance, dude, that it just ends up being Eberflus because he's the type of guy they want anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll give him a fourth year and then we don't screw up the continuity and we'll have the Eberflus and Thomas Brown show.
Yeah.
Great.
I agree with you.
I hope it works.
I agree.
Maybe it does. Like maybe your four Flus figures it out.
You know what the change is going to be. I said this the other day, but you know what the change is going to be. It's going to be Thomas Brown becomes the assistant head coach. And he's basically the head coach of the offense. And Flus is the head coach of the defense. That's what the change is going to be if Thomas Brown keeps this up. We'll see what ends up happening. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Let us know your thoughts on kind of where the makeup of this offense was. Coming out of this game, heading into next week, do you feel like at least the Bears, I mean, versus a good defense, took somewhat of a step forward?
Yeah, for sure. Caleb did. Definitely. And I think defensively, they got back on their swagger a little bit.
Second half, for sure. That first half, the run numbers were crazy.
Well, the run, you're never going to be good against the run. Not this defense, not without Billings. Like the middle
Billings
of the.
Billings wasn't good against the run either.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
I kept hearing that today, and I'm like, Billings was not this year, last year, yes.
But now
this
it's even more horrible. Difficult because you're down personnel in the middle of your defense. It makes that whole thing harder. I don't think they're going to be good against the run.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Defensively against the pass, outstanding.
Yeah.
And they'll continue to be good.
And as long as Jalen Johnson doesn't fall down. Another thing where you're like, the best cover corner in the NFL just fell down. It's got to be Flus.
Like, part of it's luck. Like, love with the overthrow.
Yeah.
That's totally an unforced error, and it's not something you caused. It's luck.
But that's Jordan Love as well.
It is also Jordan Love. The defense is going to be what it's going to be. They won't allow teams to score a ton. I don't think they'll look as bad as they did in Arizona again. Offensively, Caleb looked better. The whole operation looked cleaner.
Yeah.
But Brian Flores is coming here this weekend to fuck all that up.
Engage eight.
He's got one goal.
Engage eight.
Yeah, he's gonna send six at you. You can't block him.
Yeah.
I hope that you scheme this similarly to what you did against the Packers and tell Caleb, get the ball out. And if you can't run, don't sit in the pocket. Yeah. Whatever you do. That's going to be your best path. But Brian Flores' defense, this Packers' defense is good, not great.
They still haven't adjusted to the 4-3 switch. I think that's the biggest problem with them. They're trying to rush four, and they just don't have – they're not used to it yet.
And they're also
– They don't have the dogs for that yet.
They're not a blitz-heavy, simulate-pressure type of group.
Yeah.
They're good. They're not great. They're better than they were when they had the worst coordinator in the world last year.
They mirror us a lot in a lot of ways. Great DB unit.
Yeah, for sure. Jair Alexander, Xavier McKinney, great players.
Yeah.
But the Minnesota defense is great.
That's a great defense. Daniel Hunter?
That's where I think you might run into some problems. Yeah, dude, like if your tackles aren't 100%, like Braxton Jones showed me something yesterday.
Did he? After getting absolutely eviscerated on the last play and dumped into Caleb's lap?
That wasn't great.
That to me was the mean. I like that you got him out in space on the screen.
The majority of the game,
he played
good.
Okay.
He killed Evan Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, it killed him.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a dynamic you can add to your offense.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just going to be a lockdown left tackle protecting the blind side.
Hopefully you get Tevin back.
But when you can get him in some space and get him to operate different ways, obviously there's a little bit there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to keep him or extend him or he's your franchise left tackle. I'm just saying he showed me there's ways he can operate. But when you're going up against Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner. I missed it up. Yeah, Dallas Turner's in there.
And Jonathan Greiner.
Yeah.
Life's a little different. And when you're going up against a six-man rush, seven-man rush, every single play, because Flores is a lunatic,
listen,
life's a little bit different.
When you're middle of your offensive line that probably now is Jake Curran, Coleman Shelton, and Matt Pryor, who got destroyed on the field goal kick, is going up against the defensive interior. We're in danger. Caleb's in danger this week. He really is. But the one thing that I'll say, no matter how this week turns out, and I hope that it does turn out, like you said, similar to the Packer week. I feel confident that Caleb Williams is the quarterback that Chicago's been looking for because of something you said when we played the Washington game. Rookies don't drive you down and put you in positions to win games like this. Now, the rookie class this year might end up being unbelievable. This might be one of those. I literally left that Patriots game yesterday. I know you a Patriots fan. I was like, yo, you give Drake May some talent.
He's awesome.
He might be the best quarterback in this whole thing.
And look, I was a guy who thought May, like entering last season in college, I felt like May was QB1. I kind of moved on from that to Caleb throughout the season. They were neck and neck for me. And I'm feeling more and more as we move forward like he is.
He's really good.
Bo Nix is like maybe going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Bo Nix getting Sean Payton.
It's incredible.
Is the best thing for him. Because I literally was like, if he's anywhere else, he's not this guy.
Daniels is hitting quite a slump right now. We'll see how this goes moving forward. He's in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And the Kingsbury defense, boy, that calendar flipped, or offense rather.
Yeah.
Calendar flipped in November. Line graph starts going down. We are in the fall off the cliff portion of the season for the Cliff Kingsbury defense, historically.
Offense.
Why do I keep doing that? Fuck.
Because he keeps giving the ball to the defense.
I'm tired and I'm hungry. Caleb, I think, is awesome. So, yeah, I think the quarterback class is outstanding. But, no, it's like C.J. Stroud sold me last year, not because he was putting up gaudy numbers, but because he was sealing game-winning drives in multiple weeks. And that's something you just don't see out of a rookie. It takes time to excel in two-minute situations. For Caleb, one, in the magnitude of the spot that was the Commanders game, to lead them down the field at the end.
Twice.
Yeah. That said a lot about him to me.
Yeah.
To do it, again, magnitude of the spot. It's the rivalry. It's a team that this organization hasn't beaten in 10 tries. And you're trying to break that streak. And in the two-minute situation, you drive your team down the field with gutty, nails throws. 3rd and 19, the fade. You set up a field goal try. He did everything he possibly could, given the circumstances of what he was allowed to do.
And it's what he's coming off of, Shay. Back-to-back sacks. One that maybe you can say he caused, not a lot of time there, but maybe you can say he stayed in the pocket a little too long.
Well, in 3rd and 19, he created it himself. He evaded a sack, which I saw more of yesterday. Sack evasion was which was gone with the Waldron offense. He was evading sacks. That's huge. And he created the 3rd and 19 opportunity. But that's where, like, when you're doing that as a rookie in big spots against good opponents, it's where I buy in.
Yeah.
And it's why I think Caleb's legit. And it's why, frankly, not to relitigate and fight, it's why I never bought it with Fields, because he never did it.
He would get you up. He couldn't get you back.
Right.
He would get you. He could get you up. He could put you up 31-3.
And if you lost the up, the two-minute scenario was bound to be disaster.
And that is, yesterday I did, I said that as well. When I watched him, I was just like, duh, like, as much as I would have loved to maybe go get is Dallas Turner still available at 9? Dallas Turner Jared Verse, you know what I mean? I've got two offensive players that were nails in the biggest Chicago game of the year. Right? You're not going to the Super Bowl. This is the biggest Chicago game of the year. Who both put you in a position, in Rome and Caleb, who put you in a position to win the game, who, to me, did something off of a situation that I literally went, Justin Fields wouldn't have been able to do that. Now, maybe he evades the pressure and gets a big gain where Caleb didn't, but Braxton Jones literally just getting lifted off his feet and thrown into Caleb's lap the second he gets the ball and taking a sack, I went, game's over. You're 3rd and 19, it's over. You're done. You're going to be in 4th and 19. You're not going to throw a 20-yard play. You're going to throw something probably in Bears fashion, right? 1 yard short of the sticks, and the game's over. The two plays after that where Caleb Williams just locks in, and I think it's the freedom that Thomas Brown gave him. He had to tell him, kid, why are you standing in the pocket? Get out of there.
Yeah.
Like the set, not only just, you look at the 231, 23 for 31, the efficiency, but 9 carries for 70 yards.
Yeah.
Your offensive line still wasn't good yesterday. He just made it look better.
Yeah.
That's a quarterback that I can believe in. That's a quarterback I can get behind. That's what we've been asking for.
Yeah.
100%. And if you see something other than that, like, I get it. Like, you're concerned because you're not winning these games. But, dog, like, this kid just gets it.
And maybe it won't work. I don't know. We'll see. Caleb will write the story on Caleb Williams. There's moments in a football game. There are plays in a football game where it's unquantifiable what it is.
Yeah.
But you either have it or you don't. And he's shown me twice that he has it.
Yeah.
So I'm in. I never really got off the bandwagon. I believe that he's a franchise QB, and he showed me again yesterday. My concerns are pretty alleviated. I do think philosophically there's still a problem, and we got to get rid of it.
It goes to every – here's the thing, and I think the national media has done a really good job at this. I think the local media has done a really good job at this. If we mess up Caleb Williams, the Bears did it. It's not because, like, there were questions on Justin Fields, and I believe the Bears messed up Justin Fields, but there were questions on Justin Fields from college to the pros that you wondered if it was going to translate. The anticipatory throws was always something with him.
It just never came.
It just never happened, right? It never happened for him. And it still hasn't happened, even in his time in Pittsburgh. That's why all of a sudden, you know, Mike Tomlin's like, well, Russ, get out there, 31 points a game. All right, we're good.
Yeah, how about the spatial awareness of a brick yesterday for Fields sliding short of a first down?
That was everybody was like, look, they put him in as a running back. I was like, he's short of the first. What's he like dog, like, you got to get the first there.
I mean, seriously.
But
anyway,
I just feel like you're in a situation where there's no question on this young man's talent. There's no question on what he can do when you put him in a position to, hey, go play free, but play smart. And he can do that. He's still assessing the defense. I think you took some off his plate. I think what you did by bringing in Thomas Brown is it's like with a kid, right, that wants to overeat. You can't go back for thirds, dog. Yeah, that's two plates. You fool. Get out of here. I think Caleb was going back for thirds. He's going there. We throw a fade on the goal line. Boom, let's go. I got it. He misses it. He's putting too much on his own plate. Thomas Brown took that off of his plate. I think that now – you can see the quarterback that you wanted to have in this situation. And we know 100%. If you F this up, the Bears did it. It's not the quarterback's not talented.
Well,
it's not he didn't figure it out. It's not he didn't have the talent. I see everything I've ever wanted to see in a franchise quarterback in this young man here.
But this is where they have to let Caleb be Caleb. And I thought yesterday, at least credit to Eberflus, when Caleb on 4th and 2 comes to the sideline screaming at you, let us go for it.
Yeah.
Let them go for it. And you got the conversion. Do what Sean McDermott does. How about this? This is perfect. Sean McDermott is a defensive head coach, a lot like Matt Eberflus, right? Similar guys. Sean McDermott understands his quarterback is a fucking wizard. His quarterback's just a total badass who he can lean on, trust to win football games.
Yeah.
Yesterday, 4th and 2, defensive head coach sitting on a 2-point lead, can kick a field goal, make it 5, and make Kansas City effectively have to drive the length of the field and score a touchdown to beat you with 2 minutes left. What does Sean McDermott do? Go ahead, Josh. I know you got this. What does Josh Allen do? Fucking cape on, 26 yards to the end zone. Touchdown, Bills win.
Yeah.
Like, if this is what you want to be, if you want to rock with Matt Eberflus, somebody at some level in this organization has to check his head and say, you've got a baller at quarterback. Let him do it.
Yeah.
Keep your hands off the offense. Stop telling him about not turning the ball over. Just let him be him. Let Caleb cook.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
It's all I ask for the rest of this season. Any aspiration of the playoffs is dead and gone. Any expectation of 10 wins, you can forget about it. I've got one ask for the 8-7 games we have left. Let Caleb cook.
Yeah. I agree. That's an episode, y'all. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. That means Courtney Cronin will be on with us, and we get to get a great breakdown of what Matt Eberflus said at the podium today. Oh, I'm getting tired of hearing him talk, dog. Oh. I'm getting tired of hearing him talk. Or Shane Norley, it's your boy, Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.